as well as the maintenance of my property and the places around. If I'm letting someone there stay for a month, that's very different because they kind of have a lot more what you're doing with your place for that month that you've rented. Nightly, I'm in there cleaning it up every day. I'm mowing the field every day. I'm taking care of whatever needs to be. I'm taking care of the trash. No one's responsible for anything but me. And I'm living out there taking care, and I'll bring work in as I need and as I grow. But I do want to emphasize that if it is a concern of the people and stuff, nightly rentals do present a lot more safer options for the community and the business than monthly renters do. Lastly, I have a couple notes about residents around the area. One being a lot of the Frank Ray residents are very concerned that I'm going to be driving over there and using their property. They already bring ATVs over across Highway 160, and they already ride down Fairview Church Road. So they already do exactly what they're complaining that I'm going to cause on their side. So I know that to be kind of a hypocritical act there, because I'm living there peacefully and you ride right in front of my house every time you go by. So I feel like that's a comfort-to-comfort, you know, thing. I'm not going over to their place. As well as people come run down my road. People ride motorbikes down my road. Anything you can think of, they're going and down doing the road because it's national forest. People are going to hunt, ride, do whatever. I can't control that, but I still have to deal with it too. And lastly, kind of my speaking on the way we were able to get emergency vehicles out pretty quickly last month. It was the second Sunday of September, and there was a wreck right in front of my land, and I heard it from the house. I ran from the house and was the first one on site. And it was the son of a gentleman who just spoke. Mr. Mass, and he was very concerned about daughters and the women on the property. Well, his son wrecked with a DUI right in front of my place with an 18-year-old girl in his car. So if there is risk to women, I'm not the one, like, it's already there. He already endangered a woman. So the fact that that's a whole thing kind of discontinues that argument. As far as on his scale and persistence. But just wanted that to be noted. I'm not here for problems. I just want a good shot at a business, and I want it to be good for the community. I'm just looking for a chance. So any questions or concerns?
No.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Now we're going to close this for further discussion.
I can definitely appreciate the opposition and their concern, and I can see where they're coming from on all their viewpoints. But also, to me, I struggle with this one a little bit because of the fact that the Fairview Church Road is not on the same road as Frank Ray. So if somebody's traveling down 160 and they exit onto the Fairview Church Road, there's not any existing houses that would be directly affected by this. And especially with the fact that all sides of the property is either owned by the Worcester family or the state. Or that's just some points that I want to kind of point out there.
Okay.
Chris, I guess I had a similar thought at first when I heard the applicant say that there's only one adjoining property, but when you look at the previous planning and zoning reasons for denial, it doesn't say adjoining properties. It says surrounding area, that it has an impact on the surrounding area or surrounding residences, sorry. And an external impact, I guess it does. It's hard to argue that it doesn't. Because I haven't heard a convincing argument that those are incorrect.
How far is surrounding? Quarter mile?
Well, we heard an applicant say that she lives across the road and she can see this property from her bedroom window, so it's impacting her personally. She may or may not have joined.
We were talking about a buffer on the last request. We were talking about a buffer of 200 feet, and that in a, if it were zoned differently, which it's not, but a 200 foot buffer would have been acceptable from a different type of zoning. We're talking about 86 acres?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a rural community, though, is different than a neighborhood. I mean, the adjacent neighbors are at a distance because there's property between them, and that doesn't keep them from being neighbors.
Right.
I think... To me, I didn't hear anything that was different than was presented that the last board heard. And I, you know, I'm not sure what their decision was. Each individual, we didn't hear the discussion. But
well, the vote was 100%.
Yeah, there was zero opposed to the vote.
Well, and what we're looking for is the error law. So, I mean, you can, again, we run into that situation sometimes we're questioning the distance of surrounding residences. I mean, the first one is the retreat center and Mountain Reynolds would be a substantial adverse impact regarding the comfort of the surrounding residences. So, I guess I would advise the board to look at that. Is this a situation because it's not a subdivision? Do you find error in the statement?
Trent, I'm not sure what you're suggesting there. I don't know if there'd be an error, whether it's a house or a yurt. Is that the question?
I'm asking, does his project qualify to be a substantial adverse impact regarding the comfort with surrounding residences? I'm just advising y'all to look at it that way. That's not a persuasion of either direction. I'm just saying.
You're saying because the distance of the surrounding area that is affected is so large? Is that what I'm understanding? Is that the rest?
Yeah, I'm just asking, because of the size of the property and the fact that there's no doubt there's neighbors who probably see it across the road, but if you put the measurement from that resident to where he's placing the yurt, is that still falling to the potential detriment to the situation? I mean, I'm just asking you to look at it from both ways. Is there an error in that statement because of the fact that this is a large property? And I was a little concerned about maybe the ATV situation, but if there's not ATVs and stuff, I can see where, is this something that he can contain in a manner that doesn't directly impact the neighbors?
I haven't been on this board forever, but I don't remember the planning and zoning wording something that regarded the comfort of surrounding residences. I remember safety. When we discuss the roads coming in and things, line of sight and hazards. But I don't remember a decision that was stated quite like that.
Well, and that's the challenge in that statement because, again, we always have opposition, and so are we basing it on the comfort of the opposition? I mean, always. I mean, or is this an error in the law based on our King County rules and regulations? That's where I want to point that out.
Well, I would agree. I'm kind of curious on the Taney County rules and regulations where the comfort of surrounding residences is
is stated, because if one, you know, if one position is cut, has comfort, then the other position doesn't have comfort.
Right. Scott, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, the only thing I can think of is, do you want me to read you the 1-7 real quick?
Yes, so, please.
This is the criteria in Article 23 that all conditional use permits are judged by and looked at. So one is the establishment, maintenance, or operation of the conditional use, which is the actual use, in its proposed location will not have a substantial adverse impact, be detrimental to, or endanger the public health, safety, morals, comfort, or general welfare. So two is the conditional use will not injure the use and enjoyment of other property in the immediate vicinity for purposes already permitted and will not substantially and materially cause substantial injury to the property values within the area. Three, the establishment of the conditional use will not impede the normal and orderly development and improvement of surrounding property for uses permitted in the zoning district. Four, the proposed use is compatible with the adjacent uses in terms of scale, site, design, operating characteristics, including but not limited to hours of operation, traffic generation, lighting, noise, odor, duties, and other external impacts. Five, adequate public safety, transportation and utility facilities and services, buffering, access roads, drainage, open spaces, and other necessary public services will be available to serve the subject property while maintaining adequate levels of service for existing development. Six, adequate access routes will be provided and designed to provide ingress and egress as to minimize traffic congestion on public roads and to maximize traffic safety and prevent traffic hazards on public roads. Seven, the conditional use shall, in all other respects, conform to the regulations and all the requirements contained therein, including but not limited to any specific condition related to the proposed conditional use and applicable regulations of the zoning district in which the property is located. So within our zoning regulations, you have the permitted by rights in each zone. So you have a zoning district that can just do A, B, C, D, E, F. You know, they can just come get a permit for that building. Then there's a bunch of conditional uses that would fit in certain zoning districts in certain areas. And that's what this criteria. So we'll just take a racetrack. A racetrack is a conditional use in A1. Will a racetrack fit in every A1 parcel? No. But this criteria that they go through is what they look at to see if that conditional use being presented to them would fit in that location in that zoning district. Don't know if that helped or made it more confusing.
Well, it does. And that's where the struggle falls in the fact that, again, there is a lot of things between this property and the other properties, as well as they own both sides of the road. It's not a main traffic road as far as residential, any traffic that would attempt to go to this property would already be traveling a major highway, and they would exit directly onto the Fairview Church Road. So that's where the challenge is on really seeing if this is falls into that category.
This is a difficult decision, I believe, because I think that there are both sides have very good points. And, you know, there's certainly a group that are concerned about strangers coming into their area. And I think that that really is kind of what this boils down to, is they don't want to have folks coming into their area and bother them or bring potential hazard or harm by doing that or by having those feelings.